Hey everyone, before we get started this week, I just want to dedicate this episode to my mother, Denise. We lost her on New Year's Day this year, and thank you for all of you that have reached out, and this episode is for you, Mom. This is the Living Clean Podcast. This podcast is not meant to replace meetings, sponsorship, step work, or service. This podcast is meant to be another tool in your recovery toolbox. Our guests are here to share their experience, strength, and hope with recovery through Narcotics Anonymous. Thank you for joining us. All right, welcome back to the Living Clean Podcast. I'm Mason S. I'm an addict. We're back for another Living Clean study. Tonight we are going to continue in the Living Clean under the chapter Creative Action of the Spirit, and this will be part two of that chapter. Tonight we have brought on four special guests to help us break this chapter down. I don't know how many paragraphs we'll get. We'll do whatever we can get accomplished in the time frame. But first we're going to start with introductions, starting with the co-host, Francis.
Francis Addict. Clean date, December 22nd, 1992. Home group is You Are the Book, Book Study, Tuesdays and Thursday mornings, 6:30 to 7:30 a.m. Pacific time. Good time. Thanks.
All right, Francis. And then I'm just going to go in order that you are on my screen. I'll start with Cassidy.
Hi, everybody. I'm Cassidy. I'm an addict. Clean date is May 4th, 2016. Home group is the Chico Women's Group on Wednesday nights at 6. And my second home group is You Are the Book, Book Study.
Glad awesome. To be. Welcome to the show, Cassidy. Next, we got Dan.
Hey, everyone. Addict name Dan. Clean date 12/13/18. I'm in the Rappahannock area in the Central Atlantic region. My home group is Sunday night. Welcome home. 7 to 8:15 out in Fredericksburg, Virginia. You ever find your way out here?
Welcome, Dan. Hey, Francis, guess what? I finally got somebody in my club. Francis always likes to bring these people on in the 92 club and kind of just like smear it in my face. Like, we got clean in 92. Well, me and Dan got clean in 18. So take that, Francis. Next is Becky.
Hey, y'all, I'm an addict named Becky. My clean date is August 7th, 2012. My home group is Newcomers Group in Hohenwald, Tennessee. Grateful to be here.
Welcome back, Becky. Whoop, whoop. And last but certainly not least, Amy.
Hey, family, my name's Amy. I'm a grateful recovering addict. My clean date is 11/12/13. And my home group is Search and Recover Group of Narcotics Anonymous. And we are in Southern Pines, North Carolina.
Welcome, Amy.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much for doing this. So without further ado, let's get right into it. Becky, we start tonight with the fifth paragraph in the chapter. Would you do us the honor of kicking us off and making some comments after the paragraph?
Absolutely. Addict named Becky. We begin to sort ourselves out with the steps as an ongoing part of our lives. Sharing ourselves, whether we are telling our story or reading our inventory, helps us bring order to the chaos. We experience deeper spiritual growth in each time we embrace a step. Over and over, we surrender, let go, and trust the process. Each time another door opens inside us. The gnawing hunger we felt inside is filled as we practice prayer, meditation, and service. As our defects release the chokehold they once had on us, we are free to live fully. The narrow choices that once defined us give way, and we begin to dream, imagine, create, solve problems, or just seek joy in life itself. Our NA program provides a solid foundation. We can use that foundation to achieve anything as long as it is centered in spiritual principles. We learn to trust the principles of NA to guide us in all of our affairs. That's a powerful paragraph. So I guess for me, I heard a speaker actually share tonight about working the steps to get clean. And that's what I thought I was doing. I thought I was working steps to try to get clean. And, beginning to live life and actually be able to enjoy life and actually be able to do things. You know, I didn't, I changed a lot of, you know, my behaviors and stuff changed, but I think the steps just really brought out who I already was, you know, of course it brought out the stuff that, like it said, that the defects that had a chokehold on me, and, you know, I still will act out from time to time. However, I think it brought out some of the most beautiful parts of me, and it highlighted things that I knew were in there, but were so covered up with, well, you know, just everything that I was trying to stop feeling, and I was trying to stop having to live in the world, man. I was just trying to check out of everything. And I just love the fact that Narcotics Anonymous helped me highlight the beautiful parts that were there that weren't completely gone, because I thought they were all gone. I thought there wasn't anything beautiful left in me. And I just love how it says the gnawing hunger we felt inside us is filled as we practice prayer, meditation, and service. I mean, those are the things, that connection with other people, with my higher power, and with myself is just such a beautiful thing. I'm so grateful for those things. So, yeah, that's all I got on that.
Thank you, Becky. Thank you. Francis.
Yeah, I liked just the whole paragraph, really good. And like when it was talking about we begin to sort ourselves out. I'm like, with the steps, I'm like, sort ourselves out. You mean like laundry or something? You like the smelly stuff, the guilt or the shame? You know, like, or the character defects? I gotta, you know, like there's like sorting that stuff out. You know, like that's kind of cool. You're like, that's a description of what the steps do. Like it sorts the stuff out, and like we get clean. We clean the laundry. You know, like all of a sudden, you know, like we don't smell in class anymore. You know, like so it, you know, like it's kind of neat. And then Becky touched on this gnawing hunger we felt inside is filled with when we practice prayer, meditation, and service. And I think that's kind of like part of that's like 11th step stuff, you know, like, but you know, like I had this like driving loneliness, you know, like the spiritual void, you know, like I hear people call it the God-shaped hole, you know, like that only God fills, you know, like, so, but then like when we practice that, like seeking knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry it out, like it releases like us from that gnawing hunger, you know, like when we're able to move in the direction, you know, like through service, you know, like we pray and we ask God, you know, like, well, what do I need to know? And then we go do it, you know, and in service. So, and that frees me up from the chokehold, you know, like that it's talking about that it once had on me, like I was like choking myself, like with my self-centeredness, right? And like through acts of service, I'm able to pry my own fingers from my throat. You know, like I was, the grip of addiction was my self-centeredness. You know, like, and like I didn't know that like helping others was the thing that freed me from that. So, love that paragraph. Thanks.
Thank you, Francis. Cassidy.
Cassidy Addict, and that is just a really impacting paragraph. There's so much in it, and I love everything that I heard in relation to it. This piece that's standing out to me the most is that over and over we surrender, let go, trust the process, and each time another door opens inside of us. And something that's been really relevant for me in my recovery lately is like this looking inward, right? Like there's this God piece that's been in me this whole time. That in, you know, I remember growing up, like feeling this little light in my heart. And as I grew in my addiction and my disease progressed, it got dimmer and dimmer, but it was still there. It was just covered with all these defects and all this nastiness. And right now where I'm at in my recovery is like really looking inward at that light, you know, and just acknowledging it. And through the process, right, it's talking about embracing the steps and trusting the process. And in practicing that trust and praying and meditating to the best of my ability and my best of my willingness, right? Because sometimes it's about willingness. But in doing that, when I practice, I guess the spiritual principle of being flexible with myself and allowing myself some grace when I don't do it perfectly, right? Because I expect perfection from myself. But when I practice like some grace with myself, that light gets brighter, right? And I feel more whole and I feel more a part of, because the disease for me wants me to feel, even if I'm clean and if I'm going to meetings and being of service, it wants me to feel like it's just something I have to do, right? It's not something that I'm doing. And that's the self-centered nature of the disease, right? It's such a trip how it can speak to me in my own voice. And it can narrow the choices that I have, even if I'm not putting drugs in my body, right? So yeah, being in the process and that just looking inward at the spirit, like the spirit part of things, right? Because those behaviors and the actions that are part of being human and part of the disease, those things aren't of the spirit, right? And so, yeah, I think that the spiritual principles, as I apply them, right? And I learn to see them in myself and in others, I start to feel a little bit more awake and that light gets a little bit brighter. So that's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you, Cassidy. Dan.
Hey, group. I really like this line where it talks about the narrow choices that once define us give way. We begin to dream, imagine, create, solve problems, or just seek joy in life itself. You know, because like that's what life was, an active addiction. Even if I'm like, you know, clean and not working a program, you know, my life is just so narrowed on self-centeredness and these feelings that I have in self and trying to fill that void that's sitting inside of me, like it's been talked about, you know. But I truly remember like those moments of sitting in my bed, you know, at like 2 o'clock in the morning, thinking that life was so bleak and that this was it, you know, and then getting clean and being able to like live this beautiful tapestry of life, you know, like this chapter is this line, like the creative action of the spirit, you know, like being able to like not just stop using and like lose that desire, but that finding a new way to live, and like how each of us get to take this like beautiful journey and define for ourselves who we get to become as a direct result of working a program, specifically through going through the step work, you know, like was talked about, the prayer, the meditation, and the service work, the less it's about me and the more it's about like becoming part of something greater than myself, the more I get plugged into like all these beautiful experiences that I've had in life in this like relatively short time that I've had clean, you know, like there's so much abundance in life because I'm willing to put in the work and put myself into right, like the right place at the right time and just be in position. And that's what the steps teach me, is to be in position so I can live, not just exist anymore, but like truly live.
All right. One thing I want to touch on is it talked about, excuse me, our NA program provides a solid foundation. We can use that foundation to achieve anything as long as it's centered in spiritual principles. I was really good at building up things and making my life look like it was beautiful because of these unchecked character defects, because of this addiction. It was like building all these things on a sand foundation. So anytime that a storm came, my whole life come crashing down. You know, even if a storm didn't come, I was still inside of that home that I had built, and I was a ticking time bomb. So it didn't necessarily take life to come in and destroy it. If I was there long enough, the bomb was going to go off. You know, and the program has given me something that not only can I take into a meeting, but I can take it in all, or take it to all parts of my life, where at work, at home, you know, in the community, wherever it is. The guys I play fantasy football with are probably like, talking a bunch of shit right now listening to me say this, because they're like, you need to bring that those principles into the group chat that you're involved in. But I am still a work in progress, so we'll get there. But yeah, that's all I got. Amy, did you want to add something?
I did, Amy Attic. I love that final line. You guys touch on some beautiful things, but we learn to trust the principles of NA to guide us in all our affairs, right? Like how beautifully profound that is. And that is so true for my life. It's the step work, spiritual principles that I've learned from going through that process that guide me in my life today. I didn't have those coming in. I didn't have a lighted path, and NA really gives that to me. You know, I was so lost when I came in. When you guys talked about spiritual principles, I was like, what is that? I don't understand. But I trusted that something was working for you. Like, I saw the magic happening with you guys, and I trust that if it worked for you, maybe it could work for me. And that was super attractive to me when I first got to NA. And through this process, I draw upon that strength and that knowledge from working the steps and knowing that for me, it's not so much working the steps, but am I living the steps? Am I living this way of life? Am I living these spiritual principles? And if I don't know what to do, I have beautiful resources. I have a sponsor. I've got a network that I can go to and say, hey, you know, yeah, I need to practice these principles in all my affairs, but I'm struggling in this area. You know, I need help in this area. Can you share with me what you've done? Have you been through this? I didn't have that out there. You know, and I never had that experience before, connecting with others on that level. It was, you know, always me, you know, self-seeking. What could I get from this person? Or, you know, my intentions weren't good. And I get to live a new way of life, you know. It's a pretty amazing thing. And I love how the steps teach us these principles just at the right time in the right order for a reason, you know. It's pure, pure magic, really. Anyways, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Amy. Oh my God, I love this crew so much. We are off to a fantastic start. Let's go on to the second paragraph. Cassidy, would you read that and make some comments, please?
Cassidy, I'm an addict. It is important to have conviction about what we do. We no longer change who we are to match who happens to be around. Because of this new sense of conviction, we have a clearer path to follow. Before NA, I was a coward and a follower. My spiritual awakening compels me to stand firm in my beliefs, offered a member. Resentment, fear, and arrogance cut us off from the ability to be spontaneous, creative, and free. We open that channel when we begin to take selfless, loving action. We learn to respect and love people without seeking approval. Wow. Right? I'm thinking about that saying I hear a lot in Narcotics Anonymous, where we talk about being a chameleon and moving the way we need to move to get our needs met, right? We're trying to get our next fix, or we're just trying to get our needs met. And I know for myself, like Amy was saying earlier, like, I remember going to my mom's house and she'd be talking about something or another, and all I would want was like a cigarette or some money. And I'd just be sitting there nodding my head, thinking about what I wanted from this woman, you know, just shut up and give me my shit. Ooh, sorry. I don't know if I'm supposed to cuss on here. but like having that, like that self-centered, self-seeking, I'm going to sit here and nod my head until you stop so I can get my needs met. And today, like, I, you know, the word conviction, it means to hold firmly or dearly to an opinion or a belief, right? Like, hold firmly to it. Like, it is embedded in my spirit. Like, these principles and the spiritual awakenings that I've had through the process of the steps and through working with others and doing service and those spiritual beliefs, like our spiritual awakenings, some of them have been really small, like just subtle. And then others have been just mind blowing to a point where I'm like, I can't go back to the way things were before. right? I can't sit in a room full of people who are, you know, acting one way and act that way with them, right? Like when people gossip, for example, like when I'm around people who are gossiping, I don't even feel the need or desire to anymore. And that's like, for me, it's like, that was really, it was really easy to get into when I first got to Narcotics Anonymous. Resentment, fear, and arrogance cut us off from the ability to be spontaneous, creative, and free. And it's that to me is speaking so much to how the disease, right? Resentment, fear, and arrogance, those defects that are directly related to diseased thinking, cut me off from living in my higher power's will for me, which is to be spontaneous, creative, free, happy, nurturing, loving, and to receive those things back, right? Like when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't want hugs. I didn't want to hold hands. I was isolated and uncomfortable in my skin. And that resentment, fear, and arrogance was all that I knew. And I don't know, just that the spiritual awakening that has happened over the, you know, the last several years. Today I am able to be spontaneous, creative, and free. And today I was thinking, you know, I have a kid who has special needs and he needs flexibility. He needs his mom to have flexibility with him, right? And being in recovery gives me an opportunity to be what he needs. He doesn't need someone that's like, let's go, go, go. We're late because I'm arrogant and I want to be on time. He gets a mom that's like, you know what? We can be 10 minutes late so you can figure out how to put what shoe on what foot and not pay attention while you're doing it. That's okay. I'm not going to rush you or push you. Which is a far cry from, you know, from who I was when I got here, right? I'm honking the horn. We got to go. So we learn to respect and love people without seeking approval, right? Respect and love. And that's just, that's all that I hope to embody. Like, that's all that I hope to receive from others. And that's all I ever wanted was to be respected and loved. But because of all those masks, no one could ever get to see the real me or respect or love me because all they got was this false version of myself. So yeah, I'm so grateful. I'm glad that we're doing this. This is such a cool little thing we're doing here. I like it a lot. So thanks. That's it for me.
Thank you, Cassidy. Dan.
Hey, group. I really like what this chapter had, this paragraph in this section has to talk about. And it reminds me of the idea of like, you know, building character, you know, like not having a sense of self for so long and cheating, lying, manipulating, stealing, like adapting to a situation just so I can get my needs met. And, you know, not having to live like that, like not having to live in that arrogance and being able to be spontaneous, you know, and how to learn to respect and love people without seeking approval. And like, especially loving myself and the connection to the world around me through that, you know, like when I'm cheating, like I'm manipulating, like I'm not being my true authentic self. And I remember one specific time at work when I was earlier in recovery, I had a customer be like, did you like put in that trouble? Like, did you like work on that trouble ticket that I asked you to take care of? And I could have lied and pawned it off on like another team. Cause like, I know how to, you know, lie and manipulate a situation. But in that one moment, I remember it was like months clean. I was like, you know, I didn't, but I will go back to my desk and do what I need to do to get the situation rectified. And it didn't matter how he was going to respond. It just felt good with myself that I was able to be honest and free in that moment and not have to manipulate. Now, that doesn't happen all the time. You know, I'm not perfect, but like I get to work in that trajectory of building character, you know, building a sense of self. And that's who I am. I stand on my word and people can respect that in most areas of my life now, you know. And what's cool is that like when I said that to him, he respected me in that moment and understood. And it's not like anything blew up, you know. And that's cool. Like when I do the right thing for the right reason, things tend to usually work out. But it's cool because I get to apply this in all areas, you know, being that son that was absent and who was like the pariah of the family, to being someone who could be leaned in on in moments of need, you know. I get to take that stuff and have character with my family, in my romantic relationship, at work, you know, playing a sport. I play rugby. It's a lot of aggression and male ego and stuff. And I get to be like my true authentic self, like in all areas. And I tend to be respected for that. And what I feel is the self-respect that comes with that. So I can be free to be me. That's all I got.
Thank you, Dan. Francis.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about something that's in the basic text, and it says we no longer have to stand up for we no longer have to make fools of ourselves by standing up for non-existent virtues. And boy, I stood up for non-existent virtues all of the time. You know, like I was into punk rock for a while until I found the Grateful Dead. You know, like I was in the Grateful Dead for a while until I found methamphetamine. You know, like I just would get into things that would follow drugs around, and there was no virtue in it. And, you know, like I would dress up like how I'd need to dress up. And like I would, I'd pine away for principles. I wish I could be principled while I was doing drugs, but I couldn't. And, and you know, like in the stuff that I really wish I could be, now I can be, because like minus the drugs, I can have conviction in something. You know, like I can be committed to principles. You know, like I can practice spiritual. I could pray and meditate now. You know, like I could be of service to other people now. That's like real conviction. Even like this, I get caught I've been trying my best not to get caught up in the national politics. And to be honest with you, I think that's a non-existent virtue. You're like something happened. And so I'm like, I'm not watching the news. Like I'm not engaging on social media. Like I'm just going to put all these fucking spiritual memes up on Facebook and just ignore everything. Like everything is fine. And I think that that's like, for me, like I'm trying to flood the space with light, you know, like fill the spiritual void. It doesn't always work. I slip, you know, like I engage, I block, but it's that's what I'm kind of like. Some of the stuff I'm practicing is I do like I would much rather be Narcotics Anonymous and the principles of Narcotics Anonymous and like have those in all my affairs and just ignore all the other bullshit that's going on in the world, you know? And I don't know if it's possible, you know, like, but I get to do little fucking knickknacker things for people all the time, you know, like at the grocery store, like walking down the street and I see somebody struggling. It's my job to fucking help somebody that's struggling. And I recognize that now instead of like, fuck that bitch. You know, like, old lady, move along. You know, like it's my job to help her move along, you know. And so like, man, that's conviction. Like being an instrument of your higher power's will is conviction. Practicing the principles in all of your affairs to the best of your ability is conviction. And like these principles, not any of the, like, let my life be formed by these principles. That's my conviction. Thanks.
Thank you, Francis. Becky.
Yeah. You know, it's so ironic because in active addiction, I thought I'm so authentic. I'm exactly who I'm created to be. I just really felt like that was, you know, I was being myself. I didn't care what anybody thought. And that line where it says resentment, fear, and arrogance cut us off from the ability to be spontaneous, creative, and free, like through working steps and through other people mirroring my behaviors, you know, I started to see that it was nothing but fear. It was always based in fear for me. And that's where all my character defects come from, right? I'm fear-based. And I remember, I think the biggest lie I ever told myself was, I'm not afraid of anything. And the second biggest lie was, I don't care what you think, because that's all I was thinking about. I was thinking about what you thought and if I fit in your little niche or, you know, kind of like what Francis said, as far as I was into this and I was into this. Now, there were some constants, like I said earlier, you know, but it was working steps and it was working with a sponsor and it was practicing traditions that helped me see that those parts of me. And I love where it says, because of this new sense of conviction, we have a clearer path to follow. Like, I don't have a path. If I don't have convictions, values, spiritual principles, I don't see a path. I'm just all willy-nilly, you know, running through my life, tearing shit up, just like what y'all said, all full of self-centered fear. That's all it is. And, you know, I was taught spiritual principles growing up. I was taught to do the right thing for the right reason, but this disease twisted that so much, just like what you guys were saying about it was about what could I get. When Cassidy was saying that about sitting there, I'm tapping my foot. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll listen to this story, but I need $5, or, you know, can you put some gas in the truck or whatever? Spending time with people, sitting, waiting for whatever was next for me, you know, and I could mold myself like we all could. I could mold myself to fit whatever needed to be fit so I could get what I wanted. But that these convictions, these spiritual principles, these values that I've learned to practice, because like I said, I had those taught to me, but I learned to practice them in the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. And that has given me a path, gives me a clear path to follow, getting to be who I am authentically today, and not being afraid of who's going to accept and who's not going to accept. Because when I lay my head down at night, I know who I am. Learned all that here, watching you guys doing what y'all do. So that's all I got.
Thank you, Becky. I just love this part that talks about that a couple of you have touched on, is the resentment, anger, or the resentment, fear, and arrogance cut us off from the ability to be spontaneous, creative, and free. I was sitting here thinking about how much I despised people who were creative and spontaneous and free. Like, we'd sit around and be like, what a loser, you know, what a sucker, you know, what a fool. You know, I despised those people. And little did I know that it was because I was so afraid to be like them. And now recovery has unlocked that creative action of the spirit inside of me. And now that I have it, guess what? I enjoy watching you be creative, spontaneous, and free. You know, that has been unlocked for me through the process of this program. And I'm so grateful for that. All right. Are we ready to move on? Let's do it. Dan, I believe you're up next.
We become responsible members of our communities, taking what we learn in the meetings and practicing that in our lives. Service matters in the world. At different times, our paths lead us to be of service to others, directly or indirectly. One of the most wonderful feelings we know is that of being a part of humanity. When we practice spiritual principles, we experience awareness and empathy with others. Spirituality teaches us to feel human. After so many years of isolation, a feeling of well-being rises within us, assuring us that we are right where we are supposed to be. Yeah, talk about like the core of myself coming into these rooms, how much like I wanted to be outside of the norms in society and like rage against it and all this. But like was mentioned just before, like deep down inside, I think all I did was like yearn to be accepted and loved, and all that, you know. But like I definitely have had some things that happened in my life that led me towards those paths. And I had to do some step work around that to understand that and to try and get out of that that angry, resentful, fearful mindset, you know, like because part of my putting up the walls to society was like I was always afraid that people were in my life to like hurt me or leave me. So I got to like brace myself and like build up walls and isolate myself from the world, you know. I couldn't let people get too close. You can get it, gross right there is fine, you know, that's perfect. But you know, all that did was me pushing myself away from those who love me the most, an active addiction, all like my close romantic family relationships, all were like the ones injured the most through things like that. I didn't get to be my true self. I lost my connection to like the world around me. And it's so freeing to like come into the rooms and like slowly chisel that wall down and to become part of, society, and then realizing I am truly part of something greater than myself today. And it's through simple loving actions that like I truly get to be like the best member of society that I could be. And it's not anything extravagant, and I learned it here in Narcotics Anonymous first. Like my two favorite service commitments, right, are making coffee, because I love making like the be I make the best pot of coffee in like my area, like damn straight. I take pride in that stuff. And I love giving out key tags, I love doing like cheesy, silly phrases that make people laugh and giving somebody a hug, And it's the simple things like that that I get to take out into the world. And like that was mentioned before, like just holding the door open for somebody who's coming in behind me and giving them a smile, it could be like the thing that changes someone's day, and it doesn't cost anything, And then when I'm of service here in Narcotics Anonymous, we get to help us the most, And I remember like I just had my clean date was recently, and I celebrated. And then a couple weeks ago, this dude that's been like in and out, well, like constantly relapsing, right, walked up to me, and he was like, "Dude, thank you for like what you shared about and talked about at your celebration. I've got like, the longest clean time I've had now, and I'm getting ready to go to a facility, and I want to stay clean." And like it just really impacted me, because like that's what we do here. I show up, I share my truth exactly how it is. I'm not at the podium trying to like impress a bunch of people. My truth comes from the heart, touches the heart, and like we never know how that's going to impact somebody. That's the big stuff for me. And it reminds me of like when I was working in an office building with like 24,000 people worked in there a day, right? And one lady stopped me in the middle of the hallway, and she was like, "What's your name?" And I'm like, "I'm Dan. Nice to meet you. What's your name?" And she was like, "You greet everybody you see," because everyone in this office building is just stern and walking and doing the things. Like, "You greet everybody you walk by. You treat everyone with kindness and respect." She's like, "Honey, you must be saved." And like, if she understood what I did in like, a church basement at like 8 o'clock at night, and not what other people consider saved, like that's what the hit is for me right here, man. That's what does it, because it's people like us who have walked through the horrors of addiction and turned left and taken the 12 steps to find being saved. Like that's what it is, and it's beautiful how the power of attraction can shine through us in the rooms or in our day jobs or as we're walking down the street. I've had so many people be like, "You got something about you, and it's this right here. Like my relationship with the God of my understanding as found through the rooms of here in Narcotics Anonymous, right? Sharing this journey with y'all have given me this opportunity to take this light and help just a little bit, And that's more than enough for me. Thanks.
Thank you, Dan. Amy.
I like this part where it says, at different times, our paths lead us to be of service to others directly or indirectly. And when that was read out loud, I thought I had to kind of think about that. Like, I feel like God leaves me in these paths to be of service to people. If I'm paying attention, I'm being open, I'm being willing, he puts these situations in my consciousness, and I'm able to hopefully step into that when I see a need, or I feel that pull, that tug, that knowing in my heart that this is God saying, hey, I need you here. But the indirectly part, like I had to think about that, like being of service directly or indirectly. What's the indirectly? And sometimes it's just, maybe it's the rippling out effect of living this way of life and these spiritual principles and planting a seed, like Dan shared, it's like the power of smiling at somebody, those that contagious, smile. When someone smiles at you smile back, just living right, just doing my best to do the next right thing. That's service to society indirectly. I had to think about that a little bit. I don't know. Am I on the right path with that? I don't know. That's how I was there. I'd love to hear somebody else's thought on that, but I thought that was a really cool concept to think about. Sometimes I am very well aware of where I'm being called to be a service. My sponsor says, what are you doing to be a service? I'm, definitely in service in Narcotics Anonymous and service in my community in different ways. But indirectly, I thought that was a really cool thing to think about. And my life could be a living example of service if I continue on this path. Service is love, right? Like service is love in action. Am I showing up? I hope so. Anyways, thanks
Thank
for letting
you,
me share.
Amy. Francis.
Oh, that was so good. And you learned how to raise your hand. I'm going to segue into the last sentence of the last paragraph. And like it says, we open that channel when we begin to take selfless, loving action. And me and Mason, we did this podcast on the Mid-South Regional Service Conference. I think that was the first time I ever called it right because I always goofed up the title. And we came across this audio of Bo S. from 1982. And it was the best. You know what I mean? It's kind of like listening to an old Grateful Dead live album from 1972 when Jerry Garcia was the best. But like this is him talking about like the river outside. This was in Memphis. When they were putting together the approval draft of the basic text, and he talked about like this is just going to unblock everything. But this is what it Narcotics Anonymous opens the channel, and like practicing loving action, like unblocks the channel. And so here we are in this next paragraph where it's talking about service, and service matters in the world, and we figure out how to do that in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. They give us a key. They trust us with a couple of pennies to go to area. Just that stuff. All of a sudden we develop some trust to do some stuff. We learn how to make the best coffee in Fredericksburg, Virginia. We greet everybody as they walk in the door, and we're kind to them, and we smile even when we don't really want to. It's the practice. We practice these principles in all our affairs. Like we practice in NA, so we get to be better people outside of Narcotics Anonymous. So fucking beautiful. Yes, we can cuss on the podcast. Fuck yeah. Thanks.
Thank you, Francis. I loved Amy's question about directly or indirectly. And sometimes, when I got off a very Sunday, we were on Zoom, and when I got off, I had to go through and make the good thing is we were adding new groups to the area, but I had to go through the website and make all these meeting changes and update the list, and sometimes it gets monotonous and it gets old. But what I don't think about when I'm being selfish is like how life-saving that is to somebody who's looking for a meeting and they're able to find it that way. I don't get the satisfaction of being there in person and seeing it, so it's easy to get real selfish when you don't get to come up and tell me how I saved your life and all these things. My ego doesn't get stroked. So sometimes the result's not there. But if I can find a place of gratitude for like what Francis just said, the fact that they trust me with the admin password to a website is insane to think about. But, you know, also at the same time, that just because I don't get to see it personally, I know how important a meeting list was to me. I know how important all the things that were indirectly done. There were members who laid the foundation years before I was born for me to have a place to go, you know, and like the history work that Francis and I've got to work on, and the work that he's done way before I met him, you know, you get the, you find this gratitude to think that all the work that went through for us to just be able to have this book, to have this book study that we're having tonight. But, you know, there was a time where we couldn't meet together without fear of being arrested. There was a time that people scrambled to try to get information pamphlets printed and sent all over the place. And like, we didn't have a basic text, and not everybody had access to a printer and like our even our literature, you know? So, the fact that when I got clean, I could walk right up to the cabinet and open the drawer, and there's all these forms of literature and all these IPs in the racks, and there's meeting lists, and there's all that, just like, you know, all that was indirectly done way before I got there, but that shit saved my ass, you know. Just my thoughts on that. But anyways, let's move on. Amy, would you take the next paragraph for us?
We put this way of life into practice with our families, people we work with, and all of our other relationships. We do the best we can each day. Sometimes we improve just a little bit. At other times, we make big progress in practicing the principles, or we really fall short. Our progress is not always steady, but we can see it happening over time. We learn to live our principles. We begin to say, no, when something isn't right for us, even if we might lose someone's approval in the process. We learn to take care of ourselves and our responsibilities, and not to blame others when things don't go our way. We start to see the opportunities for growth that are available to us on our best and worst days. So I'm thinking about this first line. You know, we put this way of life into practice with our families, people we work with, and all of our relationships. And recently, I had my mom ask me to come out to help her with hip replacement surgery, you know, and she's got three other kids. I'm the fourth. But she, you know, she called upon me to help her through hip surgery, to be there for her and to dole out her medications, the addict of the family, you know, like if that's not a gift, she trusts me today, you know? And it was such an honor to give back to my mom in that way. I spent three weeks with her, helping her recover. And what a beautiful thing to be able to be trusted with her care, you know? And I get to make that living amends to her today, you know? And while I was there, it was over Christmas. And there was a part of me that was feeling a little selfish because, you know, I was there for about 3 weeks and it was Christmas time and I really wanted to be getting back home to my honey. And it just wasn't going to happen. She wasn't quite ready to be on her own yet. And, you know, I had to come to some surrender and acceptance about that. And I was exactly where I needed to be, you know? So once I got over that initial, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm going to miss Christmas with my guy. God opened up all these other blessings for me. And I got to share Christmas time with my brother and my nieces and nephews and this side of my family in Florida that I hardly ever get to see. And it was so special, you know, it was so special for me to be able to be with them. You know, this is stuff that I've written about, having guilt about not being present for my nieces and nephews during my addiction. You know, this is stuff that had come up, a lot of guilt and shame about not being a good person in my family, not staying connected, not being able to have Christmases with them. And here I was given this opportunity, you know. And I love the way that my higher power works in that way, you know. It was really, really beautiful experience for me and very healing, extremely healing. And I'm grateful for that. I also like where it says our progress is not always steady, but we can see it happening over time. Like I can look back on my journey in recovery and see the changes, and I don't always see them right away, but you guys have seen them. You guys have at times said, hey, do you remember, like, there's a couple of you on the screen right now. I know Francis can remember when I first walked in, I was like a hoodie in the back row holding a Jerry Garcia doll rocking back and forth, you know, like I was a complete hot mess, you know, walking into my first meeting with holding a doll, you know. So it's a beautiful journey in it, and I'm just blown away by how this happens. It happens slowly over time, you know. If I continue to stay with it, go to meetings, do what's suggested, work the steps, things change in my life. I know for me, the spiritual awakening started happening pretty early on. You know, my spirit was being awakened by you guys. You know, I can remember, you know, feeling that love of the fellowship right when I needed it. You know, my spirit was awakening through the steps and through this process. You know, my spirit is usually pretty light. You know, I feel that freedom today. And you just can't replace that, you know, with anything else, you know, no food, no drug, no man, no money, you know, like having that freedom that I found through this program is such a gift. It's beautiful. Let's see. We learn to take care of ourselves and our responsibilities, not to blame others when things don't go our way. I was like the queen of that, you know. I couldn't cop or own to anything. It was always somebody else's fault, you know. And today, it feels really good to be able to take care of my responsibilities. It feels good to do the next right thing, you know. I want to do that today. You know, I don't want to push other things off on other people, because you know what, that doesn't feel right to my spirit. You know, it doesn't feel right to my spirit to expect somebody else to clean up my messes. You know, I'm really, really grateful for the process of the sixth and the seventh step. I can look at my character defects and I can look at how I did that in the past. You know, really expected other people to step in and care for me and to take care of me. Wasn't willing to really own up to taking care of myself for a long time. And I like having dignity, you know, I like having self-respect today. It's truly valuable, more than I can ever really put into words, really. We start to see the opportunity for growth. And I've seen my growth. Even on my best and my worst days, right? I'm not always going to have great days. It's okay. You know, what I know is like the day's 24 hours. You know, tomorrow could be different. You know, sometimes I don't have to react, do something stupid, make more of a mess. You know, things aren't always going to go the way that I want them to. That's okay. You know, I could strive to do better tomorrow. Right. And that's, I think, all I got on that paragraph. Thanks for letting me
Thank you,
share.
Amy. I love this sentence, or these couple of sentences, where it says, "We begin to say no when something isn't right for us, even if we might lose someone's approval in the process." And then we learn to take care of ourselves and our responsibilities and not to blame others when things didn't go our way. I had this, it hurts really bad to know that people don't approve of what I'm doing and I don't have their approval whenever I'm in active addiction. Like, that hurts. But you want to talk about real pain? It's like, now I'm in recovery and I'm doing all these good things, and now for somebody to be like, "I don't approve," or "I disapprove with what you got going," that really hurts. But I was always driven to, like, if I didn't want to do something, instead of just saying no because of A, B, and C, like, I'm gonna start a confrontation. And then we're going to get to the point of an argument, and then I'm going to say, "Well, fuck you and what you want me to do, because I'm not doing that shit now. Take that." And that was so easy for me, rather than just going, "Hey, I'd love to help in this situation, because of A, B, and C, I don't feel comfortable doing that." Like, that still sometimes can feel so uncomfortable. It's so much easier to, like, get in a fight with you and be like, "No, fuck you, I'm not doing that." Rather than me be honest and you still disapprove. Like, that hurts. But what I've learned over the past several years is that, the approval that matters most is, like, mine. Like, I've got to stand up and stick up for myself in these situations. Or if I bend and do the things that might not get your approval, then I start that process that I had all the way back in the day, whenever I, did things against my morals and values, and then eventually I lose myself along the way, and that causes way more pain than you disapproving with me in the long run. So that's been a process, something I still struggle with, but it's gotten a lot better. Taking care of ourselves and our responsibilities and not blaming others. See, when I would get to a point of a fight, it didn't matter what I did. It was all about fuck you, and I never could see my part in it or my side. And it wasn't until I got a sponsor and started working steps that I started to realize, no, the real problem is you just didn't stick the boundary in the beginning. You didn't say no in the beginning. That could have prevented all this. Dan.
Hey group, and thanks for that, Amy. That was beautiful. This is such a good topic. It reminds me of this like last round of steps that I was on, and my sister was like the only close person to me that was still on. I didn't get to do my ninth step with, just because of situations. We didn't end up in a place where I could like make the formal amends, and like you were talking about, like being clean. Being in these rooms, like my spirit had changed. Like I became willing early on. Like I wanted to do what I needed to do to set myself on the right path and, right the wrongs that I had done, or, make the amends and try to move forward in life. And like the way I lived had done that. I developed the relationships with my family again. But that second round of steps, my sister was on the eighth step, and it was wild too, because it was I was writing the eighth step too at this point. I'd just done it. And this was June of 24. My sister got hit by a car. She was getting married. It was a major. She didn't like have any serious injuries, thank God. But she's getting married in September. And I called her in early August to check in on her and to be like, "Hey, what do you want me to wear, a specific color to your wedding or something like that?" And she was like, "Yeah, if you could wear black so you could be a usher at my wedding, that would be great." And like, the deep hurt boy story inside of me kicked off like in an instant, Like sometimes I do good with my family and relationships. Those are the things that are deep seated the most. And in an instant, my brain went to, fuck her. I'm not going to her wedding. I'm not going to her wedding to work her wedding. Like they can, I'm not even gonna go. This at the third. And it's how quickly that like I could lose myself in a moment, you know? And that whole line in this section that talks about like personal accountability and not having to place blame on others, you know, like learning to practice that in my daily affairs, you know, especially with the ones that are closest to me. It took me a while to like drop the baggage I had with my father. And I'm still not at that point where I think they're doing the best they could with what they had, you know, but I'm able to meet them at where they're at as people, you know, as my family. And like, you know, I was like, I said that in my head about my sister and blah, blah, blah. And I just wrote the eighth step and like, it was August. So like the meetings are on the eighth step, of course. And what's that second part of the eighth step is like to become willing to make the amends, you know? And I was like, where's my willingness to do any of this, man? Like I'm such a self-centered, like the world revolves around me, hurt baby. Like, dude, just let go, you know? And of course I went to the wedding and I like had the time of my life and it was probably like one of the best days of my life, but it was cool because I got to like live this step, you know? Like my sister's like losing her mind because things aren't scheduled right and things are little things aren't right. And like I'm sitting there watching the Rugby World Cup. And my sister played rugby. I play rugby currently. And she's like, can I just watch rugby with you? And like my one of my favorite moments is me and my sister just like sitting there watching watching a game, you know, and just being in the moment together. And at one point she had called me before the wedding and was like, I don't trust mom or dad to do this, but would you give a speech at my wedding? You know? And like, you know, I wasn't afraid to do it at first, but like we get ready to start doing it. And I'm like, you know, just trying to share from the heart like I do here in meetings, you know, and there I am choked up, crying. Dude, I don't cry a lot that often, you know, but like I'm sobbing. And it was a beautiful moment. And then they do the father-daughter dance later. And they're like, and can Daniel come up and dance with his sister? And I'm like standing up from the table, like wiping tears from my eyes before I even get to the dance floor. And like, it's one of my favorite pictures, as you can see me like holding my sister, obviously sobbing, you know? And then like later that night, we found a moment to like be alone. And I was like, hey, Megan, I have to talk to you for a second. Like, and here's my formal ninth step. And it was so free. And like, it was such a beautiful moment. But like, it reminds me this whole like up and down ebb and flow of how quickly I can get wrapped up in myself. But like, when I live this, man, I'm in the moment, you know, and I'm there and I'm living like the most beautiful life that I have the opportunity to. And that day of my sister's wedding is probably like the most beautiful day of my life currently, you know? And like, I couldn't ask for anything more, you know? I went from being the pariah and being read the riot act by her that you're everything that's wrong with the family and you're just a drug addict, but to like I get to be, you know, a brother and a son and like respected again, you know. I love what this paragraph kicks off for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. And I want to thank all of my guests tonight, our guests tonight. Thank you so much. That was awesome. And you're welcome back anytime. That was amazing. Francis, you got anything to add?
Oh my God, so powerful. I was going to say something, but I can't possibly follow. Like both Amy and Dan dropped the mic, so I can't do it. But man, I love you guys. I've been like so like looking forward to being able to like be on the podcast with one of Mason's crew from his home group. And then you know like the other three I just adore. You know, and so I can't just I just can't even begin to tell you how grateful I am for tonight. Yes, like wonderful episode. Thank you so much.
And thank you all. We will be back again next week with another episode.
Thank you for joining us on our Living Clean podcast. This is another platform that we can share our message of recovery, which is an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Join that no matter what club. You can contact us through text. The number is 931-306-9364.